step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is having a fabulous start to their day. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. I don't have anything funny to say. I'm okay.
That's good. Nick Keyser, how are you?
I'm good. I was here last night.
You were. We'll get into that game here in just a second. But first, I do want to congratulate Joe Rexroad on the former sporting love of his life. 25 losses in a row reached by the Detroit Pistons last night. There was a chant for the few that were actually there at Little Caesars Arena, a sell the team chant that the crowd was getting after last night.
There you go.
They lose the game, and Cade Cunningham in the post-game press conference takes a look at the stat sheet, glances up at the record, and says, you know, we're not 2-26 bad. Which is an interesting thing to say when you've lost your 25th consecutive game. One away from tying the all-time record of 26 losses in a row in the NBA.
Fantastic. I honestly, when you started to say that, I was like, oh, the Pistons win. But no, they did not.
About to set a record, baby.
Cade Cunningham, 28-10. 28-10-6.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's good. Yeah, sell the team. I like that. Yeah, I mean, Tom Gore's a long way to go.
Yeah,
that's a good chant.
Like, all right,
that's a good chant. He's no Ford family, but boy, has he been bad.
Ugh, it's 25 in a row is pretty incredible.
That's very difficult.
Special thing.
Difficult to pull off. Yeah.
The Predators will not lose 25 in a row. They have a one-game losing streak against Vancouver, and they rectified that last night, winning 4-2. Against the Philadelphia Flyers on the road. The father's trip. Father's watching with great anticipation last night. Preds get a really tough break to begin the game. A goal by Morgan Frost from behind the net where essentially like the puck gets rimmed around the boards. It goes off Morgan Frost's skate from behind the net. Pops up in the air. Lands on UC Soros' back and goes in the back of the net.
Yeah, that one shouldn't even count on his record.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't even know that I've seen one quite like that before. But all of a sudden you're down 1-0. Cole Smith, nice shorty last night to get things tied up at 1. Predators go on to win the game 4-2, and that's even after they had 11 forwards and 7 defensemen to begin the game, and then Yakov Trenin gets kicked out of the game for a boarding penalty. So you played a lot of the game with 10 forwards last night.
Two games in a row like that.
Yeah, and you win 4-2 last night. So the Preds, we were wondering how would they respond. I think a pretty nice response from the Predators and two pretty nice goals from Philip Tomasino last night as well.
Tomasino, maybe heating up. That's promising. You know, he had what looked like possibly, you know, the go ahead goal right before that too. So I mean, he's making things happen. I thought you were going to also congratulate me for Gus Nyquist's goal with 0.5 of a second left or whatever it was.
Yeah, things going really well.
To give me another Preds pick to click point.
You have tied the listeners with 8 correct answers apiece. You know, Ryan O'Reilly scored last night. Now, granted, he redirected the puck. You know, he was touching the ceiling with the stick when he did it, so it was pretty easy high stick call. He had a wide open net for like a tap in after that just they couldn't connect on, and then you get one with half a second left on an empty netter with Gus Nyquist.
Yeah.
When he didn't have to do it, like he could have just dumped it in the corner. But I applaud him for taking the free goal.
Yeah. Absolutely, take the goal. And yeah, like if I'm Ryan O'Reilly right now, I'm like, my goodness, why did I have such rotten luck? Is there something externally that's causing me to have this rotten luck? And if I'm you, I'm hoping Ryan O'Reilly doesn't listen to local sports talk radio.
Well, I mean, he's a guy that's pretty meticulous in his craft, as we know. Like, you know, every time they lose a game, the only thing that he talks about in his post-game press conference is like how terrible he was. Like it's becoming a theme with Ryan O'Reilly. Like the other day they lost, he's like, yeah, let me just tell you, I made about 3 mistakes out there that you just can't make, and it's just not good, which is pretty funny to watch that happen because he's largely been excellent for the Predators this year. But if he starts combing through last night, you know, some bad luck, and he comes across our Preds Pick to Click segment, he's not going to be very happy with me.
He is very accountable, so yeah, he'll probably start blaming himself. But yeah, I'd say if he's ever going
to
become a finger pointer,
it's coming.
I can tell him where to point it. That's a good win for the Preds too.
It is.
Just bounce right back immediately. It's a solid team on the road. I'd like to know what's the overall league? I'm sure this is somewhere on some website. I'm sure Keezer knows where it is. Like what's the record for teams on dad trips and mom trips?
It's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like the Preds' record is pretty good.
Well,
it seems like not always, but it seems like more often than not they win on that.
In all seriousness, like I do think, especially like in hockey or basketball, when it's an 82 game season, having something a little bit different, where you can pretty much guarantee that you're not going to have like no one's just
total
loafing
out
through the game, yeah, when you're on the father's trip. Right. I do think there is some value to that.
You would hope not.
Some merit to that. And you win last night. You've got a 5-point lead on St. Louis, which is the team that's close. St. Louis and Calgary, which are the teams that are closest to you in terms of the wild card race. Arizona has the second wild card right now, and they're at 36. Dallas wins last night in overtime. Matty Duchene with sixth game winner of the year. So he'll be riding high coming into the game tomorrow for his return to Nashville. Colorado wins last night. So if you're the Predators, that's a big game from keeping pace with the people in front of you. And, you know, some Predators fans may be listening and be like, people in front of us, who cares about that? You're not that far behind them. You're 3 points behind Winnipeg, and you're 4 points behind Dallas and Colorado at the top of the division, which is pretty amazing given that there was, I think, like a 11 or 12 point gap between those two not that long ago.
Yeah. Nah, hey, man. I mean, you're right there. You're right in the mix. This is a nice – I mean, Saturday's a really nice nice little test. I saw some poll recently. Was it The Athletic? Did you see this? The most hated teams thing?
Yeah, I did see that.
And, you know, obviously the Blackhawks are on there for Preds fans, but they also had Dallas. And who was the other one?
Toronto.
Like Carolina.
It was Toronto. Yeah, I saw one that
Toronto,
there was like two of these
really?
That came out. Toronto, I think, was on like 30 of 32 lists.
Well, yeah,
It's like, I don't know that Predators fans like have this deep hatred for Toronto.
I mean, if anything, on the east side, it'd be Detroit still, right?
Just Detroit or Pittsburgh.
Because of yeah, or Pittsburgh because of history.
Yeah.
But Dallas.
I don't know what formula
Dallas?
They used.
Do we buy – I mean, Anaheim, that's over, unfortunately. That was amazing.
I buy Dallas. Yeah, I buy Dallas. I
think Colorado, you know, St. Louis used to be – I don't know.
I think it fluctuates.
Yeah, just depends on
– Chicago's been a pretty good constant for, like, the last 15 years.
And that's – I mean, don't you think that's also – I would think that would have registered for most of the teams in the league, too.
I would think so, yeah. But – I think the other part of it's fluid. Like there was a time where I would have put Anaheim, maybe at number one, certainly number two on the list. And right now, like they don't even register.
Yeah, it's just different. That's personalities. Right. That's I mean, you know, the driver of that is now with the Avs.
Yep.
And the other guys coming in here, red hot. Good for him.
I mean, look. You know, I do want it because I saw some of this throughout the year and some of it even last night. You know, as good of a season as the Predators are having. I mean, you look at Duchene. He's got 11 goals, 29 points in 30 games. And some Preds fans asking the question of, okay, well, how much money are you paying him to go score goals for the Dallas Stars? Like, I get it. Now, I also – this is another situation in sports where I think two things can be true.
Yep.
It was I think it was time to move on from Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, and good on those guys, particularly Duchene, for going somewhere else and being really productive. Like Johansson has been okay, I think, in Colorado. He's been a nice goal scorer for them to this point. He's not done much 5-on-5, so I do think it's different between those two. Duchene's been infinitely more productive than Johansson has, but it's easy to look at the numbers and say, well, Predators could use that, 29 points in 30 games.
Yep.
But I do think it was time to move on.
It absolutely was. I mean, look, you know, everybody talked around it last year, but they had the whole thing, and basically he got called out. And there are people frustrated with, I don't know, his lack of accountability, a good way to put it. It's like you don't want to overstate, like, Matt Duchene. As far as, like, you know, bad. He's not like a bad guy in the locker room. But he's not like what Ryan O'Reilly.
He's not Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, you know. So basically, they for the locker room, they thought it was a better move. And look, I think for him and Johansson, there's a difference between being in the spots there and now when they can overachieve, and their contracts aren't the subject of discussion every day,
Agreed. And
they can, you know, chip in. He can get on heaters, as we've seen. He's the all-time leading goal scorer, single-season goal scorer in Preds history. But also here it was like you better be driving the play.
Well, and good on them both. And look, we've seen this from them both before, right? Like in terms of they both got left out there and exposed for the expansion draft with Seattle, and they came back and had great years the next year. I mean, that was the year that Duchesne put up the single-season record. Johansson, I thought, was fantastic that year. So, I mean, look, you can dance around it any way you want to dance around it. The bottom line is the Predators are paying both of them to not play for them, and they are aware of that.
Yeah.
So there's, I would imagine, some internal motivation, not just against the Predators, but in general to prove that, hey, I can still play at a pretty high level. And I said this the moment that he signed. Like, Duchesne signed with Dallas, I don't think you could have hand-selected a better place for him to go. I don't know that I expected 29 points in 30 games, but the role that he plays there with the other guys that they have, I think fits in very well.
Yeah, and you know, he should get a nice ovation. I mean, they should be motivated, but also should understand why.
Yeah.
Why no one took them when they were sitting there, you know?
Yep.
I mean, the 21-22 season was horrific. Or, I'm sorry, 2020-21 season.
Correct.
For Duchesne was the one that was just brutal. I was like, God, is this guy, like, you know, is this guy going to stay in the league? And then, hey, good for him for responding. I think it's better for all parties.
Oh, and then you mentioned Tomasino earlier. Two goals from him last night. Had a goal against Washington. So that's three goals, his last three games for him. You know, him heating up would be nice. I think he's playing really well beyond the goals. Like the game winner that he scored last night to me is a perfect microcosm of what he's doing now that he was not doing to begin the year. He started that play off by just winning a puck battle and fighting for it defensively. Gets the loose puck. They get up in the play. He hangs around, gets to kind of that soft spot in the ice, is there to get the puck, releases it immediately, and he scores. Like, though the pace is one thing, which I think has gotten better with him, but just being a little bit more detailed with the game is what Barry Trotz was kind of talking about with him earlier in the year, and I thought the goal he scored to win the game last night, a pretty good summation of progress that he's made on that part this year.
And Trotz, yeah, recently – or not Trotz, Brunette recently yep. talked about that stuff, and it's almost like what he said a few days ago has immediately – you know, been absorbed and responded to.
Yeah. I'm looking at our feed right now on YouTube and on Twitter. We've got a nice view of Rex Rhodes' laptop and just the Athletic crest
really?
On his shirt. No face, the laptop and the crest.
Oh, nice.
You can check that out on our streaming devices.
Look at that. You know, so what are you trying to say, Keezer? Keezer just came in here and adjusted the camera. What are you trying to say?
Something is wrong with the adjustment.
We do not need to see Rex Rhodes' face.
Look at Keezer trying to play it off. Oh, my, I didn't mean to do that.
It is. Golly. It's not tight enough.
That is the prettiest I've looked in a long time. I think we should keep it this way.
I agree.
Keep it this way?
We're off and running today. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, we'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Big win for the Nashville Predators last night. They'll be back at it tomorrow as they take on the Dallas Stars. We'll get into that going up a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, a lot of noise, a lot of buzz around a certain Titans coach this week that has been really interesting to hear. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rhodes, Nick Keezer here with you on this Friday morning. Our final show before Christmas. Keezer, we're going to be doing Christmas music all morning? Back and forth?
Just a mix, yeah.
Okay.
Do you actually have a plan, or are you just like...
No plan whatsoever.
He's like, Robbie,
you don't plan music.
Know. I don't know.
Just let it flow through.
Like, Robbie, why are you even asking me this?
I mean, I might put in some Wu-Tang. You never know.
Ooh. I think that'd be great. Wow. Well, look like you got my face on the camera. That's a mistake. Let's go back to the other way.
Streaming numbers about to really pick up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Every tweet that I send out on Twitter now, like it takes maybe by the third response, there's like a porn bot, like, hey, you up for some? Like, wow. It's like either that or, oh, check out these props, you know.
Those seem to be a little bit of an epidemic right now on that particular site.
It's incredible. What are we doing? I mean, how bad is it going to get?
I don't know. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
Throw my face into
the mix. Your thoughts into that on our text line.
Now my face is part of it.
Did a lot of talk about Tim Kelly this week as offensive coordinator. I mean, obviously, look, you know, we've gone through the gamut of the offensive line and the Titans being eliminated from the playoffs. And a lot of Titans fans are really mad after the Texans game about the way the game was called, the predictability of the first down runs. Kind of felt like at times you were slamming your head up against the wall, watching Derrick Henry on first and 10. Get the handoff, immediately get destroyed in the backfield, and end up with 0.6 yards per carry in that game on Sunday. A lot of discussion from Titans fans about Tim Kelly, the job that he's doing. How do you weigh the performance of the offensive coordinator versus the performance of what we know is a very below-average offensive line? What does the blame look like for Tim Kelly? What's fair, what's not fair with him and his job? How do you view that discussion and – the idea that I've seen from some Titans fans that, yes, we know the offensive line is bad, but it doesn't feel like Tim Kelly's doing much to help overcome a bad offensive line. Where do you come down on the Tim Kelly discussion as we enter the final 3 weeks of the regular season?
I mean, basically, I don't want to overstate, like, the good job that I think he's done just because, like, if the results are this bad, then – I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Vrabel. It's like you can think Vrabel's a good coach and you can think you have all these reasons why he's a good coach. You've seen it for a lot of years and stuff. But, I mean, you know, the record is really bad for an extended period of time. Then how well is he actually coaching? I mean, you can't, you know, like I think he is still a good coach. But, like, the results still have to loom large. If you look at the – there's a lot of course, analytics. I don't understand all of them. I understand some of them. I think EPA is, you know, and that's an effective way of trying to, like, make conditions equal and give you a little bit more indication of things and try to take away some of the variables. But ultimately, any of the analytics people will tell you that Tim Kelly ranks pretty well.
By the way, EPA is not the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, thank you. Expected points added.
There you go.
Yeah. Nick just found that out. So, you know, take that for what it is. You know, our guy Zach, Zach Puka Nacua would be lighting it up for you, right, if you weren't eliminated from the playoffs. It's too bad. I hope that you're cheering on from the sideline. But Zach is Zach does a great job. Of course, he goes on a podcast, you know, with Braden, and he's big on the data side of things. And, you know, a lot of young people are, other than Stillman, who acts like he's an 88-year-old man. Like, what is this? I only like yards per carry. You know, but
that was good.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, all of those, the film people, the analytics people, will tell you that Tim Kelly's really good. Again, I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, let's put him up for the Frank Broyles assistant coach of the year. I know the NFL doesn't have anything like that. But he's so far down my list of issues. And I understand there's some people like, well, look at the offense. It sucks. Look at the numbers. Let's keep running into a brick wall. And I think it was fair. The other game, I don't think he had a good day. And he did say one thing yesterday, and some people asked about this, and it's of course, right? There were some times where you want your rookie quarterback to check out of some things. And he could have. He said a couple times, and he said there was one in particular after they had a big play, and then I think they immediately, like, lost seven on the next play on a run. It was like the look should have – Levis should have gone to the check out of that run. So there is some of that. But he also kind of defended running as much as they do, how they're built, setting up play action, and so on and so forth. Again, I don't think it was a good day for him overall. He is not someone that I think should or will get looked at as a possible change. You got to give the guy You got to give the guy a chance. If all we talk about is how bad the offensive line is, well, how does that affect an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it affects him. You would think a lot, and I'm with you. Like I don't think, nor do I expect there to be a change at offensive coordinator after this season. I don't think there should be. I do think this though. We've talked ad nauseum about how bad the offensive line is. We don't need to continue to discuss it any further. Everybody knows. I think a fair question to ask, though, is the coaching staff doing everything they can do to try and help nullify or minimize how bad the offensive line is? Are they putting themselves in positions often enough to try to overcome that as best they can? And I don't know. It feels like sometimes there's just not much you can do, right? Like, no matter what play you call, if the guy lining up on the offensive line can't block the person in front of them, then you're screwed at that point. I do wonder, though, like, have there been situations this year where, you know, Kuharski brought it up the other day, and, you know, we've brought up the Kyle Phillips thing, which is, I know some Titans fans roll their eyes at, but, like, it does feel like at times there's no short passing game with this team. And it makes you wonder, like, is that all, like the receivers just can't get open? Or are we not doing a good enough job of drawing stuff up and designing things to help overcome the offensive line and get the ball out quickly?
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
He talked about that.
Yep. Do we have that audio? Well, let's hear from Tim Kelly and what he had to say on that front yesterday at St. Thomas Sports Park.
How do you assess the short passing game at this stage and what you've been able to do kind of in that range?
What do you mean by short?
Maybe six and under, something like that?
Yeah. It's probably an area we could be a little bit more efficient on. Tried a couple of those opportunities on Sunday. Didn't work out so great. I've got to do a better job of being able to get those guys open quicker. So we can become more efficient and stay more efficient in that type of passing game.
So that was Tim Kelly yesterday at the St. Thomas Sports Park at the press conference. What do you mean by short?
It was 6 yards.
6 yards and under.
Yeah,
and
how under. About six? Let's call it six.
I thought it was how tall he was.
Oh, could be too. Wow. What is Karski, about 5'7", something like that?
Oh, he's taller than that.
Yeah, I know. Just mess with him. He mentioned there, you know, didn't work out so well. I do look at this situation and wonder, why isn't Kyle Phillips? I mean, I know he's hurt now. He's got the hamstring. So,
sure.
I mean, so maybe he would be. He's had some effective days, some ineffective days. Obviously, that you can't have him returning punts anymore. But just does seem like with this group, he could help that situation. It's also like a week after, you know, or a week before the Texans destroyed their entire run game and were all over Will Levis and hurt Will Levis. You know, the week before that, I mean, the Dolphins have a good pass rush, and they actually held that pocket together, and they were able to make a lot of big plays and look, you know. Even you think about, like, being down, and I know at that point the Dolphins are playing it safe, right? It's the prevent defense preventing winning, but, I mean, Levis had a lot of good pockets that night, and all of a sudden the offense looked great. Look at this offense, throwing to Tajay Spears and, you know, Hopkins and all this stuff. I mean, it's a week-to-week league, too. But the most recent view is certainly one of those that is going to automatically bring discussion of the OC.
What do you make of the Tim Kelly discussion? What's fair, what's not fair in terms of criticism for the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on that coming up next. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on Memphis on the road. Tip off at 3 o'clock, pregame beginning at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Also, make sure you're tuned in to 1025-1063 The Game, 94.9 The Fan. It's your home for college football bowl games and bowl season and the college football playoffs. Presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Tonight at 6 o'clock, tune in for the Gasparilla Bowl on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as Georgia Tech takes on Central Florida. For a list of games carried on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, hit up our website at thegamenational.com/bowl game. So what is fair, what is not fair when it comes to the criticism of Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Skyler says, I like the play calls from Tim Kelly. I like seeing him throw the ball more. Tajay Spears running out of the backfield. It just seems like Tim Kelly needs more talented players to do what he wants to do. And if things go well for the Titans this offseason, Joe, and they can address the offensive line and they can add a couple of more weapons, that's what we're going to find out is, you know, if you upgrade the personnel, how much better does the offense look performance-wise, and how much better does Tim Kelly look as an OC if you get more talent in there? Now, if you get to next year and you feel like you upgraded the offense and they're still struggling to get to 20 points or 25 points, then you start to look and say, all right, well, what's going on in the offensive coordinator over there? But right now, like, you just made the change last year. To me, it's even different. Like, we were talking about the offensive line and the position coach this week. Like, this is even different than that. Like, you made the switch last year from Todd Downing. I think you got to give it some time. And what you brought up earlier this week, I think, is probably the most important consideration. Like, what would it mean for Levis if you bring him in, he learns this new offense, and then 1 year, all right, sorry, you're out. We're changing offensive coordinators and we're doing something different.
Yeah.
Not really the way you want to go.
Well, and even like young guys like Treylon Burks, for example. I mean, that, you know, he had to do the transition. Now you're going to get transition back. I mean, I think it seems to me like it's a real possibility here that Arthur Smith gets fired. Now, the Saints lost last night. So, to me, like, if the Falcons find a way to still win that division, then, you know, then I don't know how you can fire him. But I think he's coaching for his job right now. I think Arthur Blank basically made that clear.
Yep.
And if he does lose his job, I understand there's going to be a lot of get Arthur Smith back. And it just you just don't do that. You know, you've committed to this, you've committed to switching to this offense, and I think continuity for your QB is really important. Now, Charles London could potentially be an OC candidate somewhere too. I mean, they may lose him anyway. I mean, that's possible. And really, I think
I would be surprised by that. But maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the other thing is you can look at Levis this year, and I mean, if you really look at Levis, how he played last year, which got him dropped to the second round, and even how he looked in the preseason, then look how he played for the most part here down the stretch. I mean, I'd say that's a pretty good glimpse of, you know, of QB development. You know, London was, I think, at least mentioned with some jobs last year. So maybe, you know, it'd be better for the Titans if he isn't, of course. And again, if they come back next year and have a good year, like, it is not far from, especially at OC in this league, from like, well, gosh, this guy any good? You're talking hot seat, whatever, to, oh, you're going to lose this guy? There's like reports that Josina Anderson reported that Lions OC Ben Johnson is making $15 million the asking price for him to be head coach. Now his agent has dunked on that idea, but, you know, I mean, the
good for him.
Well, yeah. The successful OC in this league, you're not going to hold on to him. So, but right now, continuity is absolutely, to me, what you want. I understand that the offense isn't good, the team isn't good, but Levis is good, and I think this offense can be good if it has a lot more good players.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The offense, you make the switch to it. Levis is, I think, taking that in stride, and you know, he's a rookie, so it's not like it's perfect out there, but yeah, we keep going back to like Mariota in this discussion, and one thing that I don't think helped him was just the constant change that was around him. I mean, there was different coordinators left and right with him, and again, like I don't think that ultimately made the difference in whether or not he was, you know, an elite quarterback in the NFL. But it certainly doesn't help when you're changing things up all the time with the offense around your quarterback, and that was a big deal at the time when he was here. You don't want to get into that cycle with Will Levis. Now, having said that, you know, it also it reaches a point, and we're not there yet, but it does reach a point where you don't hold on to somebody either for just the sake of continuity. Like that's not a good way to operate if you're a pro sports team. So again, like we're not there with Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly, I think, has had some nice games this year. I think he's had some where maybe I didn't agree totally with the game plan and the play calls and all those things. But again, when your offensive line is this bad, it's really difficult to judge an offensive coordinator. I mean, you know, I understand people wanting them to run the ball less, especially on 1st and 10 on Sunday. I get that. And I did too. Now, having said that, when you look at the numbers and your quarterback gets sacked 7 times and hit 11 times, it's easy then if you're Tim Kelly to say, really, you want me to drop back and throw it a little bit more? Okay. Yeah. That would have worked out well.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the realistic options, maybe one of them is more Spears in that the way things were going. Just someone who can make someone miss quickly because you have to. Jared from Spring Hill says, when you say, quote, this offense, what is this? I'm not sure we have a this in our offense outside of handing it to Henry, maybe a trick play. Well, first of all, this is the Patriots, the Texans offense. So, you know, they were running LaFleur to Arthur Smith to Todd Downing. They were running basically the Niners offense, yeah, or the Rams offense, the Shanahan, exactly. You know, new West Coast. And this is the Patriots offense, but the terminology goes back to like seriously the 70s. But obviously the offense is, I mean, the Patriots back then probably had 4 running plays and then like 1 pass play. And of course I'm exaggerating, but you know, they eventually took all these air raid concepts and we saw that with Brady. Bottom line is, if there's other than the terminology, the big difference in this offense is there's more on the quarterback pre-snap than there is in the West Coast. That's one huge thing here. So, I mean, I guess you could say, well, if you switch back to the other one, it'd be easier for Will Levis. But, again, you're right. Continuity for the sake of continuity, sometimes people get hung up on that. And you know, it's like, well, you got to be good enough. But
right.
I do not think that we've seen an OC who's not good enough. I think we've seen an offense that's terrible because the personnel is deficient.
Yeah, and now it's on Vrabel. Like, so much of this comes down to decisions made this offseason. Like, this offseason is going to define the future of the coaching staff, probably the future of this general manager. Like, if you get through an offseason and it's a train wreck next year, well, then everything's probably on the table in terms of changes that could be made. If you make the right choices, then you can start to get kind of a true look at Tim Kelly and the offense there and what you're working with there. So, I mean, so much of this comes down to – I mean, it all comes down to Vrabel and Carthon and the choices they make via free agency and the draft coming up.
Yeah.
I think Tim Kelly's going to be a part of that. We talked about potential changes earlier this week. I don't think Tim Kelly is going to be one of those.
No. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys would – yeah, what are they going to finish? Whatever, 6-11, whatever they're going to finish. I mean, you should think that you're coaching for your job. That's what this league is.
Absolutely.
You have two losing seasons, and it goes quickly. And you know, it's still going to come down to even with all their choices, even if they make good choices and they upgrade things. I mean, the quarterback is going to like if Arthur Smith loses his job, it's the quarterback that's going to lose him the job. Now he picked the quarterback, but Desmond Ridder and his horrific mistakes, and they'd have 2 or 3 more wins right now and be in first place, that's going to cost them a job. So it's still going to come back to Will, you know, number 8,
yep,
and how he plays it within all that with a new offensive line and at least 1 or 2 new receivers, et cetera, et cetera.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Cam. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Yeah, so I asked this question yesterday when Jared had TD on and didn't get really the – I don't know, a solid answer. So we're going into next season. Tannehill's obviously going to go out and go try to find a starting position with, you know, Hedham County High School or whatever. Are we really going to carry Malik as our only backup into next season, knowing that for the past 2 seasons we've broken down our quarterbacks, the offensive line? Are we going to draft for the 3rd consecutive year a quarterback? Or are we going to go and do like the Browns and get Jake Lockhart or whoever
Joe
off
Flacco.
The couch like the Browns did? Joe, yeah. Off the couch to be a backup for the Titans next season.
Yep, thanks for the call, Cam. I said earlier this week, Joe, if they approach the offseason with Malik Willis being the plan at backup quarterback, that that's a fireable offense. So
you're fired.
That's how I feel about it. I don't think that they should draft someone. I mean, I guess that they're, you know,
no,
if
I don't
sitting
think
there
that's
in the fourth
it.
Round and somebody you love is there that you think could be a good backup, then I guess you could consider it. But I especially given the fact that Levis will be entering into his second year next year and Tannehill's gone, I think you need somebody in there that's played some football in this league.
Yeah.
So I would go sign a veteran. That would be my plan.
Yeah. So the answer is I don't know, Cam. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I agree. I think that they should look for a veteran back. Look, I think that they should try to get Josh Dobbs. Let me try to get Josh Dobbs back here. He's good. You know, obviously he's lost his starting job in Minnesota. He's kind of regressed back to the mean what he is, which is a really good backup quarterback. So you'd love to have a really good backup. You'd love to have that guy on your team. He has been here, different offense, but he's been here. Familiar with Vrabel and everything. I mean, I think there's going to be a competition for his services. But something like that, I think, is absolutely what they should try to do. It'd be great if Malik Willis kept progressing and could be like your number two from a financial standpoint,
yep.
Because you got him in the third round and you don't have to do anything else and you've got him under contract and great. But yeah, I think you've got to have someone who's had success as a quarterback in this league.
And I realize it's way easier said than done, given the number one, how limited really good quarterbacks are in this league, and number two, you know, cap restraints and roster constraints that you have. But, you know, Charles Robinson brought this up with us yesterday. Look around the league right now. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have been hurt this year, and some of these teams have filled the backup role nicely, and they're seeing the benefits of that right now. Some of them haven't. You know, you go get Aaron Rodgers, and you think everything's going to be peachy, and then on the third snap of the year, he tears his Achilles, and you're stuck with Zach Wilson and Trevor Siemian and the like playing quarterback. And Indy, I think, is a good example. Indy drafts the rookie. They signed Gardner Minshew to be the quote-unquote backup, and he's a pretty darn good backup, and he's kept them afloat and may get them into the playoffs this year. So it's worth pursuing, in my opinion, if you're the Titans this offseason. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Let's see. Nick had Ryan O'Reilly with 4 points in back-to-back games? All right.
Four-point total.
Did not happen. Titans walking it off with a game-winning field goal of more than 40 yards from Nick Folk. Oh, did not happen. Gonzaga beating UConn. UConn kicked that butt. Robbie, you had McDonough with a goal and assist versus the Canes. No. Sissons winning 80% of his faceoffs versus the Caps. Did he?
Did not.
Davis Mills throwing for 322.
He threw for zero.
He did try to throw one Hail Mary. And the Titans with a fake punt, they did not try that. They probably should have. I had Colton Sissons with a two-goal game against Carolina. We had a lot of exciting things that didn't happen.
We did.
I had a Davis Mills tush push from the three, Inspector Gadget style, but that did not happen. And I really had my finger on the pulse of the rushing attack to come. Derrick Henry, more than 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Yes.
That was good.
He could have played that game 10 times and maybe not have had that.
Yeah, 600-minute game. Still wouldn't have gotten it. So there you go. We did really well.
Really nice week. We'll try to rebound this week. Nick Kieser, your called shots for this week.
Okay. I will go first and foremost. Matt Duchene comes back to Nashville tomorrow. So I'm going to say that he has a three-point night in Nashville. But the Predators will win in regulation 4-3.
Okay.
Forsberg game winner.
So Duchene factoring in on each Dallas goal, but the Predators win 4-3.
Correct.
In regulation. Okay. Is that your lone call shot?
That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right.
Oh, wow.
You need the anti-Porth.
I was going to say, you need to work with Ryan Porth a little bit. We could call him up. He'd have like 11 ready shots. Right now. Yeah.
Joe Rexroad, your call shots for this week.
Okay. I got a Matt Duchene shot. He does not score a goal. Everyone expects him to score a goal. He does not score a goal. I think that's a called shot.
I think it is too.
Ryan Tannehill will throw a touchdown of more than 50 yards to Treylon Burks.
Ooh.
How about that?
That counts as a shot.
That counts as a shot. And, I mean, I had to go big on this because, you know, we all expect some production. But DK Metcalf, more than 175 yards.
Wow.
Receiving. And I don't even know who's throwing to him. Do we know who's throwing to him yet? We've talked almost none at all about the Seahawks.
I'll be honest with you. I have not paid a single lick of attention to the Seahawks.
Geno Smith said this week he certainly, I think, certainly hopes he'll play. But, I mean, honestly, I think Geno Smith and Drew Lock, there's an example of a good backup situation and also, like, pretty, not a huge difference between the two. But that is an example of a team with a good backup.
Geno was a full participant on Wednesday with a groin injury. For some reason, whatever he did yesterday is not currently listed on the website. So he was a full participant Wednesday with a groin injury.
I might be able to find that.
Okay. We'll see what happens there. Any more called shots?
That's it.
All right.
We're light. So if you want to just go nuts, go for it.
I've got Matt Duchene with two goals.
Oh, boy.
Philip Forsberg with two goals as well. So similar to Keezer, but two for Duchene, two for Philip Forsberg.
Just like when they were dueling for the record 2 years ago.
Yes. I have an overtime game winner from Tyler Seguin. Overtime game winner from Tyler Seguin for the Dallas Stars tomorrow. Ryan Tannehill will throw for less than 150 yards on Sunday. Less than 150 yards Ryan Tannehill will throw for. The Titans will score 6 points. Seattle will score 10. I got a 10-6 final coming up, which kind of just blew my pigskin pick'em prediction later. But
was it 3.5?
I think so.
So you're going with the Seahawks. 10-6. Oh,
10-6. We're in for a Christmas weekend treat at Nissan Stadium.
Sounds like a wonderful way to spend Christmas Eve. Get me excited.
But with the way that I've gone with these lately, both with, Preds Pick the Click and some of my called shots, I probably just unlocked a 41-38 game for all of us.
Let's hope.
You're all welcome.
But
I'm going 10-6, the final score. Seattle taking down the Titans. Just a memorable performance.
Might rain, right? Is it possible we're going to get rain?
I believe it's possible that there's rain. Now, I believe it's also, if it doesn't rain, I think it's going to be like 70 degrees.
Oh, gee, you're right. Actually, right now, sorry, I'm looking at Orlando.
It's actually going to be 85.
Yeah. Yeah, 60. Okay, 65, and right now it doesn't say any rain. Yeah. So how about that? Okay.
Could be a beautiful day. I mean, beautiful day setting up for some offense, maybe. We'll see. It would be nice to see Tannehill go out there and have a memorable performance. I assume it's going to be Tannehill. I mean, it could be Levis. I guess we'll find out. But I'm assuming Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, Levis isn't.
He's not been ruled out.
Yeah, Vrabel has taken, he'll take advantage of the fact that he doesn't have to say Levis is out until he has to say it, which would be today, which he will say to the assembled reporters.
Is that a call shot?
Levis is out. Yeah, I'll call that shot. That's a gimme.
You think Tannehill has a big day?
Time.
You're saying 50-yarded Burks?
Well,
what are we thinking?
Hey, both of our shots could be right. He could have that, a 58-yard TD to Burks, and still throw for 142 yards.
That is true.
100% possible. So I'm not calling for a big day. I'm calling for the one big play. Okay. But I think he'll play well. He's a good quarterback, He's a good quarterback. I do think with Tannehill, one thing that's, it's situational, all that stuff. But I do think the ball may be out a little bit faster sometimes than with Levis, which is something you might expect from a multi-year veteran who's thrown for a gazillion yards in this league compared to a rookie.
I'll throw another call shot at you.
Okay.
Treylon Burks doesn't have a catch on Sunday.
Oh, my. Okay.
I need to see it multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Is it a shot?
No catches.
He's had
is
a couple
shot.
Weeks this week where he's not had any catches.
Yes. I mean, it's all possible.
It is all possible.
Nothing would shock us.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. A nice way to ring in the Christmas weekend to bring Stillman in here and him and Joe can go at it. I mean, it's been months since he's won in the Jared versus Joe competition, so He's grasping at straws here at this point, but I'm looking forward to it coming up next.
I feel bad for him. Do you? I want him to win, yes.
Jared will join us next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.